Three, two, one.
Welcome to It's Fabulous!
True personal story.
X-Fabula is a Milwaukee nonprofit committed to strengthening community bonds through the art of storytelling.
Back for another year of stories on the radio. It is X-Fabula Radio during Lake Effect Weekend on WUWM. I'm Bruce Winter. And X-Fabula co-founder Leah Delaney is with us again for 2018, bringing us good things to listen to every week.
Yes, happy new year to you, Bruce.
Thank you.
Yeah. So this week we have a show based on the theme of adventures with children. You know, we figure since it's a new year, we have new adventures, and often children take us on the biggest adventures of our lives.
Oh, yes.
Just a quick little note. I was at a party, a New Year's Eve party, and kids were involved, and there was a big basket of candy sitting on the counter. And 10 minutes later, we realized the basket of candy was gone, and all the kids were hoarding the candy and running around the house. And I overheard this one little boy scream out, "This is the best night of my life." And I thought, wow, that sounds fantastic to be a kid again.
To this point, it's the best night of your life, kid.
Little Escher. But I did bring some stories today revolving around children and adventures.
All right, let's hear it.
Okay, so let's roll into the first storyteller. Elaine Molly, she told this story at our Story Slam, which was What Could Go Wrong? Let's listen to What Could Go Wrong with Elaine Molly.
It was Labor Day weekend, the last weekend in a summer full of outdoor adventures with my grandsons. 12-year-old Noah and I were headed up north to go whitewater rafting. It was my idea. I'd been rafting dozens of times before. Who cares that the last time was maybe 30 years ago? What could go wrong? Noah and I get to the meetup spot, which is just north of Pembine. We meet the six other rafters who are going to be on the raft with us. Our guide, Derek, fits us with helmets and life jackets. And we get on a bus with Bill, the bus driver. On the way to the launch spot on the Menominee River, I learn that the other six rafters, of which two are women, four are men, I learned that only two of the six had ever been rafting before, and it was also a very, very long time ago. So anyway, we're in our raft on the Menominee River, and the first phase is flat water. And Derek uses the time to have us practice paddling in unison, and he reviews the safety instructions, and we all listen very carefully. The next phase is level two rapids, or class two rapids, which I now know means rough water, rocks, some maneuvering, basic skill level required. It's a blast! We get wet, we're all laughing, we slap five fives with the paddles. It's just great, everybody's had a good time, we're laughing. The next phase is class four rapids, which I now know means waves, rocks, tight maneuvering, a considerable drop, exceptional skill level required. So we're heading towards these rapids, and Derek is calling out paddling instructions. But the people on the left are paddling way harder than the people on the right. And we careen straight into this giant face of rock. The raft bounces back and ricochets around, and I get catapulted out of the raft in a backward somersault, right out. My helmet pops off. And I'm trapped underneath the raft, going gurgle, 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 for what really seemed like a death-defying amount of time, until the raft and I finally drifted apart, far apart. Now I'm going down that considerable drop all by myself. The white water is crashing over my face, just crashing over my face. And it feels like what I imagine waterboarding would feel like. I seriously feel like I'm going to drown. I can hear Noah. He's going, Grandma, Grandma, Grandma. And what's going through my head is that, you know, when you reach 60, you think about death now and then, and you think, I'm okay with death. But not today, not today, not like this. This cannot. This would so suck for Noah. Derek is shouting at me, nose up, toes up, nose up, toes up, and he's got this wild look of panic on his face. He's shouting at the other rafters, paddle hard, paddle hard. And they finally get close to us. And Derek reaches over and grabs me by the shoulders of my life jacket. One, two, three, and he hauls me into the back of the boat. And my swimsuit falls down to my knees. Now I'm in the boat, face down, bare ass up. And as I wriggle my arm around to pull up my suit, Derek says, sorry, ma'am. We get through the rest of the rapids, we get to the shore, no one is laughing. We rendezvous with Bill the bus driver. Bill says, wait till you see the video. Some of you are gonna want the video. I'm pretty convinced it's not gonna happen. You know, like it's far away, so what? But when we get back, the rafters all gather around this small flat screen and we're previewing the video, and sure enough, there it is, my big red ass. And Noah says to me, don't worry, Grandma. It's just a butt. Everyone has a butt. And he tells me that this was the most fun he had all summer.
Thanks, Elaine. And that was the now fully clothed Elaine Molly telling us her adventure with children story.
Oh, yeah. You know, as a parent, you look back over some of the things you did with your kids, and there was one I can recall. This was at Disney World, and it was at the MGM studio thing. They had that Aerosmith roller coaster. It's an indoor roller coaster. It has a couple of loops and drops and everything. And we had been on that earlier in the day. My son was about 11. And at night, everyone was going to the fireworks, and there's nobody on this ride. So we looked at each other and went, let's do this.
Yeah.
And we stayed on for like 13 rides in a row.
The Aerosmith roller coaster?
Yeah, and at some point I said, hey, Dad's going to lose his Mickey Mouse waffles pretty soon. Let's go. But that was like 13 rides in a row. That was
wow.
That was our adventure that I can remember.
And that's a lot of Aerosmith.
Yeah, and plus there's Aerosmith music throughout the ride too. So
that's a lot to take in.
Walk this way.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys have a full calendar in January, don't you?
We really do. We're starting out 2018 with a bang. So we have a couple of workshops I want to talk to you guys about. We have a public, which means everybody, come on down to the public storytelling workshop, which is going to be on January 13th. And then we also have an equal access storytelling workshop with the deaf community on January 14th. And after that, why not talk about the spectacular?
Absolutely.
Fabula New Year Spectacular, which involves vetted storytellers who are going to tell stories about their experiences with breaking free. That will be on January 18th at the Turner Hall Ballroom, and you can get your tickets online at exfabula.org and learn everything about those workshops as well.
Exactly. All right, story number two.
Well, okay then. This one is from Dan Niederlow, who originally told this story at our Now or Never Story Slam back in February of 2010. Here's Dan.
I really need to start this at the point where she told me the news, because Jeannie had been diagnosed as infertile. She thought she would never be a mother. And so at the beginning, we thought she was really getting sick. And she went to see the doctor. And afterwards, she came by the cafe where I was working. And I asked her if everything was all right. And she said yes. And then she held out her cupped hands and slowly opened them up to reveal a tiny little plastic fetus that she had taken from a display in the doctor's office. She said, this is growing inside me. That was my now or never moment. At the time, I was a young man prone to grabbing my backpack and just leaving town if things started to get too weird in a relationship. But I was committed to this woman and now this child of ours. So we spent the remaining months preparing to be parents. We turned the spare room into a nursery. We went to the childbirthing classes and learned how to breathe. We bought the books and read them. She bought a bunch of baby clothes and tie-dyed them all. The funny thing was, this was all still kind of abstract. I knew in my head that this wonderful life was growing inside her, but all it really felt like was my girlfriend was gaining weight and getting steadily crankier. The moment of truth arrived, and I'm woken up in the middle of the night to her on the phone to the hospital, and she's telling the doctor that her water broke, and I'm thinking, water broke. I learned this. Oh, crap. I jump out of bed, and I instantly become stereotype father-to-be, and I'm hopping across the bedroom with one leg in my pants, and I'm telling her over and over, it's okay, it's okay. Everything will be all right. She was exceedingly calm. She was fine. I get her in the car, and we speed to the hospital. I deliberately drove way over the speed limit because I really wanted a traffic cop to pull us over so I could say, my wife's having a baby, and he'd give us an escort to the hospital like in the movies. But, of course, you know, there's never a cop around when you need one, so we made it there in record time. We got her checked in, and we settled into the birthing room. This is a really cool space. It's basically a really comfy bedroom they set up in the hospital. It's all warm colors and soft fabrics and dim lights. There's no stainless steel to be seen. Well, I was under the impression that once labor started, the baby would be forthcoming, but this was not to be. And the nurse comes in, and she times her contractions and checks her dilation and tells us to just relax. It's going to be quite a while before anything really happens. So, you know, the hours passed, and the morning came, and I started getting really hungry. Jeannie's nodding off in between contractions, and I lean over and I ask her, honey, do you mind if I pop out and get a quick breakfast? She kind of opens her eyes and gives me this look and then says, well, okay, but hurry back. So I run out of there and I jump in my car and I head out to find somewhere open this time in the morning, and there's a hitchhiker by the side of the road, and I pick him up and he tells me he's going to a pancake breakfast at a church in Kona, which is about 10 miles up the road. I tell him, perfect, I'm looking for a place to eat. So we take off, and we get there, and we get our food, and we find a place to sit, and making conversation, the hitchhiker, he says, so what brings you out on this fine Sunday morning? And I say, well, my girlfriend's at the hospital, and she's in labor with our baby. He looks at me, and he says, well, what the hell are you doing eating pancakes? You got to be with your woman. And all of a sudden, it just hits me like a slap in the face. I realize that I'm terrified out of my mind, and this is my way of kind of running away from the inevitable, even while the inevitable's going on. So I hightail it back to the hospital, and thankfully Jeannie hadn't given birth yet. Her two best girlfriends had shown up for moral support, and they both kind of glare at me as I walk in. I'll spare you the details of the next 25 hours of labor. Suffice to say, everything went pretty much according to plan. And at the end of this, out comes this baby. And the nurse gives me a scissors, and I cut his umbilical cord, and she places in my arms this tiny, perfect little baby boy. And he's not even crying. He's just sort of blinking at this bright world he's been thrown into outside his mom. And as I hold him, he looks up right into my eyes, as if to say, hey, Dad. And I just lost it. And here I am, this total screw-up, and somehow I just managed to do this wonderful, right, and perfect thing. We called him our miracle baby. That miracle baby is turning 20 this month. Logan, thank you. Logan and his little brother, they are absolutely the most cool dudes I have ever met in my life. And I'm grateful every single day that I chose now over never.
And that was Dan Niederlo's story revolving around children and adventures.
I had to laugh because, you know, his poor wife-to-be is in labor, and he's like, I'm hungry. I'm going out for breakfast. Is that okay?
Yeah. Oh, Dan, we love you.
I can only imagine the looks he got when he got back. But.
Yeah. And for the record, Dan Niederlow and Elaine Molly have told numerous stories with Exfabula. And if you would like to become a professional storyteller or learn how to craft your own storytelling, please sign up for one of the public storytelling workshops or the Equal Access Storytelling Workshop that we're having on the weekend of January 13th and 14th. Mm-hmm. And while you're at it, go get tickets to the Spectacular. That's going to be on the 18th at Turner Hall Ballroom. And all of this information and so much more can be found at exfabula.org.
And if you want to hear these stories again or share them, you will find them posted at wuwm.com. So that is Exfabula Radio number one for 2018. 51 to go.
Yeah, right.
We'll start next week.
Sounds great.
Okay, thanks.
Bye.